All right. Happy New Year again. You know, I'm going to do a special message about New Year today, and then Patrick next week is going to wrap up our study with Elijah. Not this Elijah. Not this Elijah. I said it the other night. I said, I've been having such a great time with Elijah, and they looked at me like, you been hanging out with Elijah or what? No, Elijah the prophet, because he was a man just like us. But God did stuff in his life, and he does stuff in our lives as well. But today I want to talk really kind of about, like I said, about New Year. You know, what's in store today? What's in store for our New Year? Do any of you know what's going to happen this coming year? Like, God only knows. But I can say this, that some days are going to be bright and some days are going to be dark. Some days are going to be cloudy. Some days are going to have sunshine. And it's going to be, you know, each day is going to be different. And it changes rapidly. And if you could look back over the last year in your own life, there was some good stuff that happened, right? And stuff that just was not so good. But God was faithful in all of it. And that's really my message today. How did we make it through last year? And how are we going to make it through this year to come? Except to the faithfulness of God, that God's going to take care of us. God's going to get us through. I was reading a devotional. I read the scripture, but I also have some devotionals that I use. And I came across this poem. It was written in 1908, not so long ago. But the name of the poem was The Gate of the Year, The Gate of the Year. Have any heard of it already, The Gate of the Year? But it's part of a longer poem called God Knows, like what I've been talking about already, that God knows. But she called it The Gate of the Year, written by a gal named Minnie Louise Haskins. And let me get to my other paper here. Back in 1939, King George VI, who was King of England at the time, 1939, the beginning of World War II. And it was just starting, and he, you know, they would go on the radio. They didn't have, you know, all the stuff we have today, but they go on the radio, and he would give a Christmas message. And this is what he said. Listen, he said, I believe from my heart that the cause which binds together my peoples and our gallant and faithful allies is the cause of Christian civilization. He said, on no other basis can a true civilization be built. Let us remember this through the dark times ahead of us and when we are making the peace for which all men pray. He said, a new year is at hand. We cannot tell what it will bring. If it brings peace, how thankful we shall be. If it brings continued struggle, we shall remain undaunted. In the meantime, I feel that we may all find a message of encouragement in the lines which, in my closing words, I would like to say to you. Now, I printed this part of this poem in your bulletin, if you want to look at that there. It's on the one side there. And this is the just part of this poem, that he quotes there to the nation, to England in the beginning of World War II. He said, the poem says, I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way. The next lines, which aren't there, say this, so I went forth, or actually they are there, so I went forth and finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the night, and he led me towards the hills and the breaking of day in the lone east. May that almighty hand guide and uphold us all. that really struck me, this idea that coming into the brand new year, how are we going to do it? We don't know what we're going to face. It's going to be good and it's going to be bad, and we don't know. But God's faithfulness, and for you and I to put our hands into the hand of God, that's good advice, isn't it? That was good advice for them back in 1939. It's good advice for us today in, what year is it again? 2026. If you know the history, and I'm not a huge history person, but how many more years would it be for World War II? Right? From 1939 till what? 1945, basically. It would be 5 to 6 more years. So they were facing this, and this was very wise wisdom. It was going to be a very dark time in Europe in the time of World War II. Horrific time. But to keep your hand in the hand of God is what he said. Samuel said these words in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. He said, it says that Samuel took a stone and he set it up between Mizpah and Shin, and he named it Ebenezer, saying, thus far, the Lord has helped us. Ebenezer, the Lord's help. Thus far has the Lord helped us. How did we make it up to today? How did I make it to today? Because the Lord has helped me today. Thus far has the Lord helped me, and God is going to continue to help me in the days and the weeks and months and to come. He's going to continue to do. But thinking about this idea of the arm and the hand of God, who can tell me the word when you describe something about God, let's say, that is in human terms? This is really a test here. Pardon? Not exactly the word I'm looking for, but Jesus. That's how the kids answer, right? You ask them a question, and every answer is Jesus, right? You ask them, well, how did God create the world? Jesus. You know, just everything is Jesus. And that's true. But I'm trying to get something from you. I'm trying to get some participation here. Let's start all over. There's a word that talks about when we describe something in human terms of an action, or anthropomorphic, right? Some you don't even know that word. Never mind. But why I say that is because we're talking about the hand of God and the arm of God, but you know, it's not like there's a real arm that's stretching down, but the only way we know how to describe it and understand it is in human terms, right? And that we think about the hand of God at work. And the king said, put your hand in the hand of God. Why would we do that? And does the Bible talk about the hand of God? It does. A lot of places it talks. I picked out a few for you here today. David, who was also a king, said these words in Psalm 63. He said, I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. You're actually, the hand of God is actually holding him up. God's hand holds you up. What's in store? We don't know. But David knew that. Another psalm writer by the name of Ethan said these words. He said in Psalm 89, he said, your arm, he's talking to the Lord, your arm is endued with power. Your hand is strong. Your right hand exalted. Now again, we know that God the Father doesn't have this gigantic hand or whatever, but in terms we understand that there's power, there's strength. That we put our hand into the hand of God who has all power. That's the one that we look to. Anybody remember when Peter the apostle talked about God's hand? What did he say about that? I'm going to test you today because it's a new year and we're going to really get moving here. What did Peter say about God's mighty hand? Yes, that's half of it. What's the second half? First half. Humble yourselves, therefore, what? Under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Humble yourselves. This is, you know, we're talking about putting our hand into the hand of God. Well, first of all, we need to humble ourselves before the hand of God, under his mighty hand. If we think that we can do it on our own, well, you know, I don't really need your help this year, God. I got this one. How's that going to work out for you? Humble ourselves under God's mighty hand that he may lift us up in due time. He kind of gives us a hint there that, you know, we humble ourselves under God's hand, but it's not all necessarily going to happen as quickly as we might want it to happen. But he said he's going to lift us up in due time, in his time, his perfect timing. I want you to turn with me. There's a number of passages we're going to look at and turn to today. First of all, Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10 through 14. We're going to read these. And I want you, as we're reading them, to look for things that repeat. Look for things that repeat. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10 through 14. God says this. Now, he's speaking to Israel, the people Israel, but we are also God's people. And so these verses apply to us as well. God speaks through his word to us as well. So starting in verse 10, God says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you. I will uphold you with what? My righteous right hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all." Verse 13, "For I am the Lord, your God, who takes hold of what? Your right hand." Now he's taking hold. And he says to you, "Do not fear, I will help you. Do not be afraid, O worm Jacob." I like that. "O little Israel, for I myself will help you, declares the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." Those are promises for you and for me for this year. You can bookmark that. You can go to that passage. You're having a hard time. There's dark. There's light. You're not sure how you're going to get through. Well, look at these passages. Look at these verses. He says. So when you were reading, when I was reading those, did you notice any things that repeated themselves? Anybody? Fear not. Do not fear. How many times did he say, "Do not fear, do not be afraid"? How many times? How many? I can't hear you. Three times. Yeah, you can speak up. It's okay, because I'm getting old. Three times. What else? Any other things you saw repeat? You got to speak up real loud. Declares the Lord. Okay, that wasn't on my list, but that's a good one. When God speaks, we should what? Listen. We should listen. What else? What other things repeated? I will help you. I heard David Jeremiah on the radio coming in today, and he says, you know, when God says something once, he wants us to know it. When he says it twice, he wants us to pay attention and really know it. And if he says it more than that, we better just accept it and understand that's what he wants. He says, "I will help you. I will help you." Getting back to what Peter said, though, what did he say? He said, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up. We have to be willing to say, God, I need help, right? I will help you. I will help you in 2026. Any other things that you saw repeated there?
Do not fear.
Do not fear. We got that one. I am your God. Yes, I am your God. Twice he says that one. There are probably others there as well, but if you notice, he talks about, you know, the righteous right hand, his righteous right hand, and our right hand, and we kind of put those things together. I was kind of, you know, looking at this picture here, and I was trying to find pictures too. You see, they're facing this way, and so really, the one on the right, which would be, let's say, Jesus, that's his right hand, and the one on the left, that would be his what? His left hand. So there's a sense where, you know, we put our hand in God's hand and we walk along side by side, but there's also a sense where if it's his right hand and my right hand, what does that mean? That means we're facing each other, you see. There's something about this relationship where it's me and him, it's you and him, and you're holding his hand, he's holding your hand, he's reaching out to take a hold of our hands. The strong, powerful hand of Almighty God. Remember I said, does it ever talk about God's hand in the Scripture? Let's turn to the New Testament, the Gospel of John, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, chapter 10. These are some awesome Scriptures as well, awesome. And you'll see why in a second here. John chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of what? My hand." So Jesus says, no one can snatch us out of his hand. He's got a grip on us. He's taking care of us. We're never going to perish. But he doesn't stop there. Look at verse 29. He says, "My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." And verse 30 says, "I and the Father are one." We're looking at the Trinity here, aren't we? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that we're in the hands of God and we belong to him, you know what? We're safe. No one's going to snatch you out of his hand. The devil lies and makes all kinds of statements about this. Another scripture I found in Romans chapter 8, verse 34, says this, that Jesus is at the where? The right hand of God. And what is he doing there? What is he doing there at the right hand of God? He's interceding for us. He's speaking to the Father for us, for you. Jesus is there at the Father interceding for you and for me. At the right hand, the powerful hand, the strong hand of the Almighty God. 2026, our hand in the hand of God. I'm in your hands. I trust in you. The poem says, "I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God." Ultimately, we've already been talking about it, but ultimately this life isn't all there is, right? In the Streams in the Desert, the first volume, it says this, traveling in the wilderness toward the sun rising, upheld by hope of a glorious new day, for we are wayfarers of the infinite, traveling to a land where dawns are begotten, And glory has its dwelling place where life begins, not ends, and where there is eternal springtime. What's he talking about? What's the writer? He's talking about heaven, exactly. That ultimately that's where we're going, and we have our hand in the hand of God, and he's taking us home. He has a place for us. Peter says that we have been given a new birth. We've been born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. And it is kept in heaven for us, this inheritance that we have. But he says this as well. He says, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. So he, again, this is that idea of the hand of God upon us, protecting us, upholding us, helping us. The writer of the devotional said this, as King George VI told his people, none of us know what the new year will bring. If it brings safety and healing and prosperity, wholeness and joy, we will praise and thank the Lord. But if it brings continued struggles, we will remain undaunted. Not because we are strong or have it in our own power to remain faithful, but because our God is strong and more than able to keep us in his peace. As we put our hand in his. So let me ask you, how do we do that? You know, we talk about this, well, we're going to, you know, the message is to put our hand in the hand of God, that he's going to reach down with his hand. And so how do we do that? What does that mean? You know, we can hear messages, but how do they apply to life? What does it mean? Because it's not a physical hand that's reaching down, right? You know, I put my hand up and try to put my hand into God's hand. I can't feel it necessarily. So what does it mean? How do we do that? Well, someone said this. I'll just quote. If I can find it here. Our hand in his is, of course, a poet's way of expressing trust. And why should dark be better for our journey than daylight? Because I've come to feel that holding our hand is God's delight. Isn't that sweet? God loves it when we hold his hand, when he's holding our hand. This is his delight. But it really is a sense of trust. Trust that he's going to take care of us. That he is going to uphold us, that he is going to help us, that he is going to bring us home. It's a trust, it's a walk of faith, is another word for trust, isn't it? Trusting him. I was thinking about, you know, when you have kids and you're crossing the parking lot, you're crossing the street, what do? You got to grab that hand, right? And they get a little bit older, and they don't really want to hold your hand anymore. Well, I got this, Dad. I can. You don't need to hold my hand. I'm 17 now. But I want to hold your hand. Because I want to take care of you. I want to protect you, and there's a safety about it. But not only that, but there's something special about it, isn't there, when you're holding that kid's hand? There's something that it makes you, you know, it's just like, wow. Or you're holding your spouse's hand. This writer reminded me of the Beatles song, right? I want to hold your hand. And she said this, I believe God sings the same refrain. I think he longs to keep us company, to walk at our side, hand in hand. He does. I believe that. It's a delight for him to have this relationship of trust, this walk where we're hand in hand. And as Jesus said, you know, we hear his voice and we follow him. We walk with him. He walks with us. There's a song, we're not going to sing it today, but a song about put your hand in the hand. How's it go? Who's going to sing it for me? That's a different verse, I think. Put your hand in the hand of the man who... Put your hand in the man of the... who calms the sea. Take it. I don't know why it says this. Take a look at yourself and you will see something about others differently. But put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee, right? Put your hand in the man, hand of the man who parts the waters, whatever it is. Either way, God wants to put his hand out and for us to put our hand in his and walk together. 2026, our hand in the hand of the Almighty God. How else are you going to make it? There's stuff going on in our world today that is just downright frightening, downright crazy, downright, you know, how's this going to turn out? How's that going to work? In our own country, around the world. But God will get us through. God is going to get you through. Whatever it is that you have to face, he will get you through. I can make a promise. Why can I promise that? Because that's what God's word promises. Let's pray together, shall we? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we look to you. We call out to your name and we trust you. You're the God who saves. You're the God who heals. You're the God who provides. You're the God who protects. You're the God who will help us, will hold us up when we're just crashing down. We can trust you. We can't trust this world. We can't trust even the people in this world, but we can trust you because you are faithful. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There's no shadow of turning. You don't change. You're the rock of our salvation, the rock to which we can always go, the refuge where we can always come and find safety. Father, remind your people, help us to remember your words, to turn to them often, and to find hope and help. We thank you, Jesus, that you keep us. You've got a good grip on us. You're not going to let anybody take us out of your hand, and neither will the Father. I pray today, too, Lord, as we think about those who do not have a relationship with you, are not born again by the Spirit of God, have never surrendered and given their life to Jesus. Maybe somebody listening to this word today, message, you need to open your heart and life and say, Jesus, I need you. And I believe in you. And I receive you into my heart, to my life today, January 4th, 2026. I ask you to be my Lord and to be my Savior. Forgive all my sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing one more song together, shall we?